Ooh. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back. We back once again, man. I got my co-host, Water. Co-host of the year, co-host of the decade, co-host of a lifetime, Shorty. Water. I got a little lemon in this water. You know what I'm talking about? I'm putting the lemon back in my waters. You know what I'm saying? That's a nice little filtration right there. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? I'll be getting the lemon juice that's not from concentrate. I get it from Sprouts. I throw that in there. You know what I'm saying? Get everything filtered out. Get everything flowing and moving. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know I've been on my little colonoscopy journey. Had another failed attempt. And so it's just like, I don't know what to do to pee out my booty hole. So I'm trying to get to the level of peeing out my booty hole. I got to make a third appointment attempt. I'm going to call them today and see what's up because they didn't call me back. But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on this, man. I'm not giving up on this colonoscopy, man. Go in there with the flashlight and see what's cracking. That's all I want. That's all I want, man. And here's what I want, black men. I want y'all to be more proactive in your health. I want you to be more proactive. All right? Go to the doctor. Make appointments. Stay on top of it. Get your annual physicals. Get your blood work done regularly. If you out here being a player Mac pimp, you out here smashing and dashing, make sure you getting tested regularly. STIs have gone nowhere. HIV, herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, HPV, hepatitis, all them joints, even more. There's more. Oh, there's more. Did I say gonorrhea? I don't know if I said gonorrhea. Gonorrhea ain't went nowhere. These mugs been around for mad long. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day. Christopher Columbus pulling up on the shores with the fresh batch of them STIs. You feel me? They not going nowhere. So don't be out here acting like they went somewhere. Until you go to your doctor, you go to the clinic, and then you get hit in the mouth with that reality of, oh, shit is still out here. You know what I mean? Just be mindful. I'm not judging people that are smashing. You know what I'm saying? No judgment on that. But if you're going to be doing it, do it responsibly. Know your status. Know what you're working with out here. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not in the game of judging people for smashing. Because I myself be smashing like that, but I've, how do I say this correctly? Like, throughout my life, I've had multiple partners, right? And it's not always in a committed relationship. I would just be lying and fronting if I sat up here and act like, oh, I've only had sex with people I was in a serious, committed relationship with. That's not my reality. It hasn't been my reality. I lost my virginity to somebody that wasn't my girlfriend. You know what I mean? And so you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be real with yourself. And I'm not one to be out here with the hypocritical judgment, knowing I be in the streets and try to, you know, judge others for being in the streets as well. They in the streets with me. We in the streets together. We pointing at each other like, yo, you wild. I'm like, you wild too. We both wild. We out here. And a lot of people be doing that. A lot of y'all be acting holier than thou. You be sitting up there on your high horse like you ain't never been doing nothing. And even if you are as pure as you claim to be, so what, man? You think you better than us out here? Because you're saving yourself? You think you better than us out here? I mean, I commend you. Your body is your temple. But don't be thinking you better than us out here. Don't be looking down with disgust like, Because one day you might find yourself down in the streets with us. I never thought I'd be here. And then you might get back on your high horse, but don't forget when you was down here with us. You know what I mean? I'm a man. I try to be a man of the people because I've lived a full life out here. And I know I give off relationship vibes. I probably give off like innocent, virginal vibes. I know that's the, I know what I'm giving off. But the reality is I'm not. In the words of the immortal Britney Spears, I'm not that innocent. Don't let the dimples fool you. I'm not that innocent. I know the vibes. I get it. But the reality is, you know what I'm saying? Not always. Like, once I got over my fear of sex, and then I got more comfortable in who I was, and I started, you know, exploring and experimenting and experiencing things and people. You know, I was out here. You know what I mean? I was out here. But I was still always mindful of just, you know, how I was moving and who I was with and just having those conversations of, you know, when was the last time you were tested? What's your blood work looking like? Yeah, okay. You know, don't be scared of those conversations. We grown, y'all. We are grown individuals, man. You got it. Let's look at your body, for example. You cherish it, right? You cherish it like you do your home, your car, whatever. Some people don't cherish their car or their home. Some people got a shitty ass crib. Like, stuff all over the place is dirty. It's disorganized. You got clothes all over the place. It smells funny. You got some people like that. Like, you go in their house, you be like, damn, man, this is how you taking care of your home? This what your home look like? Or you get in their car, it's just shit everywhere. Just trash and junk up in there and just stains and oil light on. And you're like, damn. But then you got those people that take extreme good care of their home. Their home is immaculate. Their car is clean. You down there, man, damn, you take your car to the car wash with the full detail every week, huh? Of course. But then they out in the streets, you know, doing whatever with their body, but then the house is clean, the house is immaculate, the car is immaculate, but they treating their body like, yeah, it's whatever, roll the dice. You got to treat your body like like your home that you cherish, that you pay good money for, that you live in, that you want to be comfortable in, that you want it to stay clean and, like, you know what I'm saying? You want your house to be right. Your body is your house. No matter where you live, no matter what house or apartment or condo or townhouse or trailer home you move in, this is the common denominator. We change addresses all the time. But this is the only address you'll ever have. This is the only car you'll ever have. So take care of it, man. Keep it clean. Vacuum that shit out. Check all the gauges. Check that oil light, the check engine light. You know what I'm saying? The tire pressure. Make sure you good. Treat your body like that, man. Stay on it. Stay on it. Because I care about y'all. I want y'all to live a full, healthy life. I want y'all to be proud of who you are. I want you to move how you move, but I also want you to be responsible, accountable, cautious, mindful, fearless, stand firm in what you got going on. If you don't want to have sex before marriage, stand firm in that. Set your boundaries up. Let it be known. Because when you're on the fence, that's when shit get murky. All right. The patron saints want me to cut the live. They want me to cut the IG live. This is my last warning right here. Not a warning, but it's the promo. Peeps, in the IG Live, if you haven't joined my Patreon, join it right now so you don't have to get cut off. Click the link in my bio. Click that Patreon tab. Join up, man. For as little as $5 a month, you could get more Tony Baker entertainment. For just the price of a cup of coffee, you can get more exclusive entertainment from Tony Baker that you thought you'd never receive. For the price of just some paper plates from Walmart, you can get premium good times from Tony Baker. All you have to do is go to the link in his bio, Click the Patreon tab and join for as little as $5 a month. You know what you spend $5 on a daily basis. Just $5 a month. You can do $7 a month. You can do $25 a month. Whatever is on your heart. Join today. I see you at Starbucks. You spend more than $5 on Starbucks and you're in that bitch multiple times a week. But for just $5 or $7 or $25 a month, you can get premium Tony Baker access for as little as a cup of coffee. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? All right, I'm out of here. Click the link in my bio. Click that Patreon tab. Join up. Stop being cheap, y'all. Y'all sitting here laughing, but you're not doing nothing. Stop laughing and join, man. Sick of y'all. All right. Now that I have my patron saints alone. Anthony Fuller, Tony Ant, OCP, Zakia, Zaynova, Roslyn, Sarita Houston, Terrence Cox, Mrs. Incredible, The Fly Bohemian, Lace Willoughby, Alice, Keisha Clark, Coco Puff, Cutie B, Mantana, Lana, Tamara, I always get confused on Tomorrow, Tamara, Miranda Cummings, Courtney Davis, Cafe Ole, Kevon, Nestor, MP Trooper, Nakia, Shobson, AJ, Ardrika Collins, Jacqueline, randomly, CJ, Sharon McD, P Pie, Stonyface Entertainment, Nana P, Cat 87, Malice Jones, Trey Porter, Ryan, you know what I'm talking about, you feel me? Ken Akeen, Savance, Big Panda, Jamal B, Michelle Lambert, Kim Simmons. Let's go, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all, man. We are back yet again. Got a mirror on the ones and twos. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. I just been on a real, like, you know, not a health kick, but just like, that's been taking up the majority of the real estate in my mind, is just trying to make sure my health is in order. I want to get my finances in order in terms of just like, you know, making sure my finances are all set up in the event that anything happens to me. I always want to make sure that, you know, my finances go to the right place. Got to make sure your kids are squared away, your loved ones, all that good stuff. Just being grown. I need to go through my closet and edit a bunch of clothes. I need to do that. I need to really sit down, be disciplined, be focused, and get rid of a bunch of clothes. Because I'll be going to my closet, man, it's jam-packed with clothes. Jam-packed. KC, I do not have a financial advisor. I don't. But I really want to get into a space where, you know, I'm just like, I'm making firm decisions in my closet. I want to make firm decisions, give up on the clothes that I no longer wear, stop holding on to nostalgia and like, man, I remember this shirt. Somebody else can have a field day with the clothes I got in my closet. Zakia says, someone in the Patreon says you have restricted them. Who have I restricted? I don't recall restricting anybody on the Patreon. You, P-Pie? I don't think I restricted you. I don't even know how to restrict on Patreon. What's it saying? See, don't put that in my mind, Keisha Clark, because then I'm gonna keep everything. Maybe their membership fee didn't go through. No, on IG? On IG? You can't comment at all. Is your IG the same as this? Let's find out right here, right now, on the podcast. Will you outgo the distance? Will you outgo the distance? Wait, hold on. Yes? All right, let me see. I wonder what you did to get put in to get put on restriction. You might have did something. Wait. P-Pie-I-C-U. You don't even show up on my... wait, hold on. You're not even showing up on my Instagram. P-Pie. Is P-Pie-I-C-U? For you? Yeah, you're not showing up. P-Pie-I-C-U. I don't see it. For you, yeah, you don't even show up. Wait, let me look for you on a different account. You might have got blocked. You might have said something out of pocket that I didn't care for, or you might have liked something that somebody said that was disrespectful. It could be any. Yeah, I don't. You're not popping up. Oh no, it's Chess K. Oh, okay. Hold on. For you, I'll go the distance. For you, I'll go the distance. It says your account is private, for one. Your account is private. Yeah, it's giving me the option to restrict you, block you, or report you. So if they're giving me that option, that means you're not blocked already, or you're not restricted already. So I don't know what, I don't know what happened. Yeah, so on my end, you're not restricted or blocked. So I don't know. I do know this. You need a picture. It's just a black circle. Where's your picture at? Not necessarily that it has to be a picture of... It has to be a picture of you. But we need a picture. Can't comment. You don't show in my feed. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Oh, on my end, though, I didn't do anything to your account, so I'm not sure what's happening. I'm not sure. But yeah, let me do this ad though, man. Let me pay these bills. Let me pay these bills, y'all. Now, I'm a big fan of MasterClass. And how I got introduced to MasterClass was Instagram, and they had ads on there. And I remember an ad that I kept watching was for Ron Howard, the director Ron Howard, his MasterClass commercial. I used to always watch it. I don't know what it was about, like, you know, his particular commercial, but it was like, yo, I really like watching his commercial. Just in that little commercial, because I seen the one for him, I seen the one for Sam Jackson, and the guy that he cooks barbecue. He's known for like barbecue. He's based out of Texas, and I forget his name. He wears glasses, and he's showing you how to do barbecue. And I was just like, even though I'm vegetarian, I was still just like, I would just keep watching those commercials for the MasterClass over and over again. It was just like, yo, I like what's happening here. And so MasterClass is, it's just a dope, I don't know what you, learning tool to whatever it is that you're into, the professionals, yes. Is his name Franklin? He wears glasses. He got barbecue restaurants in Texas. Aaron Franklin. I used to always watch his ad too, and I was just like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Even though I don't even eat meat, I was still mesmerized by the MasterClass commercial. So anything that you're into, Kev on Stage has a MasterClass. I think MasterClass is a great tool to learn from people that really do this. And, you know, to learn what it is you want to learn, whether you want to be a director, whether you want to cook great barbecue, whether you want to get your social media in order. Kev got you. Aaron Franklin got you. Ron Howard got you. You know what I'm saying? There's so many MasterClasses. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. That's cheap. For $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. That's super cheap. That's a deal. And even if let's say you get the membership. Let's say you get the membership and you end up just watching different masterclasses and you learn stuff that you might fall backwards into something that you never thought you was into because you just been watching the masterclass and you just like, yo, I think I really want to do this. I think I have a shot at really just trying my hand at this, no matter what it is, whether it could be cooking, it could be acting, it could be directing, it could be writing, because they hitting you from all angles. They got so many different pros in here. You really might find something that you never even thought you could be good at or something you was interested in. For $10 a month, that's so cheap. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. You can build your confidence through humor with comedic icon Kevin Hart, use improv to overcome your fears with Amy Poehler, or turn your passion into achievements with the cultural icon Martha Stewart. And the classes really make a difference. 88% of members feel that Masterclass has made a positive impact on their lives. And I believe that. I believe it. Because when you watch people talk about, you know, their chosen profession and you seeing they're giving you steps and tips, it's just like, yo, how can you not feel like, yo, I can apply these things? You know, that's the beauty of Masterclass. They make you feel like you can really apply the tools that they're giving you to your own life and your own profession. And you feel like, yo, man, I learned a lot here. And I just feel like that's the way to go. Like, I learned so much from Kev. It's crazy. So I want y'all to use this URL access. I want you to use this URL to access the offer, right? So right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/verbal. So you're getting 15% off. So just go to masterclass.com/verbal. That's 15% off. masterclass.com/verbal. Don't forget that verbal. Don't forget that verbal, y'all. Need to put that verbal in there. You get an extra 15% off. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Trust me. Masterclass.com/verbal, man. Get in on these masterclasses, man. They are great. They're just entertaining on their own. Like, you could just watch them regularly and just be like, you know what? I want to try this now. You know what I'm saying? And Masterclass can do that. So, boom. I need a masterclass and a colonoscopy. That's what I need. That's what I need right here, right now. You hear me? Do you hear me? Yeah, y'all. Let me go back to the Chatsworth. Hit me with questions, y'all. I wanna give y'all some attention on this verbal cardio, on this, the last verbal cardio in this glorious month of May. Did we do verbal cardio last week, Amir? I did. That's right. I feel like I didn't even do it. To Jesse asked, how was the colonoscopy? It hasn't happened yet. I did all that prep for no reason, Jesse. I did all that prep for no reason. I drank the gallon of the solution. I took the pills, the four pills. I did all that. And nothing. They want the stuff coming out of me to be clear. And so since it's not that, here we are. Alice asks, how's the animated series with Tahir coming along? It's coming along. They're still making progress. We had shot some more stuff for it last month, I think. And so it's coming along. You know, animation takes a while. So the animators are doing their thing. But I know we definitely did some more voice work for it. So it's coming along nicely, yo. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be legit. I think it's going to be a good time. Miranda Cummings asks, are you weirded out by adult sleepovers? I'm not weirded out at all. Matter of fact, where they having them at? I want in on them. I'm a fan of the sleepover. Sleepovers aren't for everybody. And now that we're grown, now that we're adults and we can move how we move, we're not at the mercy of getting picked up by our parents or guardians. A lot of people just go home. A lot of people just opt for going home. Like, you know, they just don't feel comfortable sleeping at somebody else's house. No matter how comfortable and nice that crib may be, some people are just like, all right, I'm out of here. But it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You sleepy. Yeah, I'll just brave it. And they go home. Me? I don't have to go home. Like, if I'm at somebody's house, I'm comfortable, I'm enjoying myself, I'm having a good time, it's a vibe, I will crash. I will crash right over there. I have no problem with that. If I'm comfortable, if I'm like, yo, and if I'm tired, I would rather just crash there than to fight the Sandman for every mile trying to get home. Some people don't mind fighting the Sandman behind the steering wheel. I'm off that. I used to be that guy. Fighting the Sandman. Man, get off. I'm fighting the Sandman the whole mile. Every mile I take, man, me and him tussling in the front. He grabbing my seatbelt. Man, get off me. He unbuckling the seatbelt. Remember in the Matrix Reloaded when they was fighting in the car? They was fighting them twins in the car. It was Morpheus. It was Trinity. And they was just in the car duking it out. That's me and the Sandman. Matter of fact, those twins in Matrix Reloaded look like the Sandman. They look like just Sandy. And so that would be me. And I'm just like, yo, I could have just crashed. I crashed somewhere last night. I just crashed. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just sleep for a couple hours. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just cool. I mean, it wasn't no hanky-panky. I don't want y'all thinking like, oh, Tony was out here last night. Wasn't nothing like that. But I crashed. I was just like, you know what I'm saying? Crashed, and then I went home. Because I don't want to fight the Sandman, y'all. I could be tired out here. Lives are at risk. And I don't want to be out here on the road where I'm cross-eyed. I think I'm seeing things, and I'm veering off. Nah, man. So if they're having an adult sleepover, tell me about the adult sleepover. Is this like a thing people are doing? What these adult sleepovers looking like? Driving sleepy is the worst, man. Give me the sleepover. So I'm not weirded out. Even when I have people that come to my house, even when I open my house up to guests, you know, my friends that come over, they're welcome to crash. Like, you know, if they've been over and they stay over late, you know, you can stay in the guest room, you can crash in Sincere's room, you can crash on the couch, you can crash wherever. Like, you know, I just want you to be safe. And I feel like if you crash at my place, you're comfortable. So that makes me feel good as a host. But I'm with it. But at the same time, don't overstay your welcome. You know what I'm saying? But if it's a planned sleepover, I'm with it, man. We need to have more sleepovers as adults. Remember how dope sleepovers were as a kid? That was a good-ass time, man. You know what I'm saying? The sleepover, when I used to sleep at Leon's house, man, epic fun. Epic fun. Even Robert's house was fun, even though I fought him one time. Even though I fought him, sleepovers was mad fun. Even Robert's house, though, man, Robert's dad, man, he was an alcoholic. So he would just be stone drunk. And he called Robert Moody. Moody! Moody! Where you at, Moody? And so I'll never forget that time, man. I was staying the night at Robert's house. And We in Robert's room. We in the beds. You know what I'm saying? We just laying down. We was up, but we was just talking. And we hear Robert's dad coming down the hallway. And we just like, oh man, you know what I'm saying? Let's play this off. Let's play like we sleep, just in case. Cause you have a fake sleep with your parents, just because, not necessarily that you wasn't supposed to be up, because it was a weekend since I was sleeping over, but sometimes you just don't want to hear from them, man, because they're going to come in there, either they're going to complain about something, or they're going to give you some shit to do. You know, that's the type of time parents be on sometimes. They see the kids chilling. Hey, man, y'all need to get up and do something, man. It's already midnight. Y'all need to get up and do something. What y'all doing up? Just go to bed. But it's the weekend. Just go to sleep. It's 1 a.m. Y'all just shouldn't be up. Parents gonna find a way to shut the fun down. And so I heard him coming down the hallway, and I was like, let's fake sleep, Robert. It wasn't even like we talked about it. We just knew instinctively, like, yo, we gonna fake sleep when his dad come up in here. His dad walked up in the room, Moody, Moody. So I'm faking sleep. I open my eyes. I'm at eye shot with his whole sack, his whole shaft and sack. He in there naked. He in there butt ass naked, dog. I'm just like, bruh. You know, I did the hard turn. Cause the way I was laying, I just matched up with his crotch. It was just like, I was like, bruh. Even though I wasn't saying bruh back then. I damn near rolled off the other side of the bed, man. Come on, man. Moody. Moody. And he was sleepwalking. So he was just, he was drunk sleepwalking. So he don't even know why he even in there. But he ain't had no clothes on. And I'm just like, bruh. This is why I fought Robert eventually. I think it all boiled down to your dad's sack was in my face. I think that's why it wasn't that Robert was following me around. I knew exactly what it was. It was because his dad's balls and shaft was right at my nostrils. And I just, you know what I'm saying? I was just like, man, quit following me. But I really wanted to say was, I seen your dad's package. So, you know, but we off that. With the adult sleepover, you know, if packages do show themselves, it's because they wanted to be there. They wanted to be seen. They were welcomed, I would hope. You know, and I don't know if anything goes on at the adult sleepovers. I don't know. I've never been to one. But yeah. So, but no, I'm not weirded out by those. Should I be weirded out? I don't know. Jay Thomas asked the top three most overrated movies. Number one, The Big Lebowski. The Big Lebowski is overrated to me. I don't get it. I've tried to watch it a few times. I just can't get into it fully. And I like the Coen brothers. I like the way they move. I like how they operate. I like, you know, the stuff that they put out. Raising Arizona is one of my favorite movies. No Country for Old Men is one of my favorite movies. I really love Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Really love that more than I thought I would. The Lady Killers. Like, I like the Coen brothers. But The Big Lebowski, for me, it's just like, it's cool. It's not a bad film. Let me just clear that up. It's not a bad film by any stretch, but I'm not in love with it. I'm not all enamored with it. It's not even top five Coen brothers for me. You know what I mean? So I gotta throw The Big Lebowski on the list. What else is overrated to me? I'm gonna probably Apocalypse Now, overrated, man. I watched Apocalypse Now, and I'm just like, man, this shit is boring. Understand, man? I just can't. It's slow. It moves slow. The visuals are great. the visuals, some of the visuals of that, I really felt like we were at war watching that movie. I really felt like we were somewhere. Like I was really immersed in that environment. But other than that, man, it was just boring. I was like, bruh, this is slow, man. This is just slow. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is. Low key, Fight Club might be on that overrated list, but I'm not gonna put Fight Club on there. Fight Club is only a tad bit overrated, but it's not fully overrated. I rocks with Fight Club, but people praise it a little too much. But I think Inglourious Basterds gets a little too much praise. I think Stanley Kubrick films, for the most part, are overrated. I know I'm going to get hit in the mouth. I know somebody going to throw me in the alley and kick me in the ribs. I know this. The majority of Stanley Kubrick films that I've seen, I'd be like, man, this shit boring. The Shining I like, but Clockwork Orange, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Eyes Wide Shut is trash. And people be like, man, I think Mean Streets is overrated. Martin Scorsese, I think Mean Streets is overrated. I think Love Jones is overrated. I think Love Jones is overrated. And I love Lorenz Tate and Nia Long. But Love Jones as a film overall is cool, but I
don't know about that one. I
like Love Jump, man.
It's a feel good movie. We don't really get too many of those.
Does it feel good?
The plot definitely it made me upset a little bit, just because they seemed like they both was being a little immature.
Oh, they were definitely immature, for sure.
But for the time period, I didn't see it. Obviously, I don't even know when it came out. I just saw it recently. Like, yeah, maybe in the past 2 years.
I want to say, I feel like it was like 97 when it came out.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I want to say. I could be mistaken. I think it was 97. 98 at the most. But to me, the soundtrack was better. Now, when I say overrated, I don't mean bad films in these cases. But I just feel like,
They put them a little too high. Yeah. I can see that. You'd be like, this is the greatest movie. Like, nah. Favorite movie? Okay. I ain't gonna argue about your favorite.
You can't argue with somebody's favorite.
Yeah.
But
I enjoyed it, but not looking at it from a critical standpoint.
Right.
You know?
Just taking it for what it is.
Just taking it for what it is. That's why I have to look at a lot of movies nowadays and be like, you know what?
What's your favorite black romantic movie?
Damn.
Favorite black love story that you've seen?
I said it's going to be trash because I haven't seen that many. I really do like the Best Man series.
The Best Man is good to me. I like both of them.
But what they did with have you seen the TV series that they did?
Oh, no.
That
is good?
That shit is very good.
Okay. Is it the original cast?
Yeah, it's on Peacock. That, it is, I like, to watch the, because they had, was it three movies? Two movies?
Two movies.
Two movies.
Yeah.
So I watched those. And I was like, okay, I like these. I like where the story's going. It has emotion, has feel, comedy, depth. It just has, like, you know, the layers of that thing. And then when they brought the series back, it's like seeing them more grown up.
Oh, okay.
And then, but still getting into some of that craziness and stuff like that. And it's like, man, I ain't gonna lie though, Terrence Howard, his acting, he was up there.
I love, Terrence Howard to me is my favorite character in The Best Man. In the two movies, he's my favorite.
Yeah.
So it's dope to see that he's dope in the series as well.
Yeah, his range of acting, like the person that he has to be, is just like it's just so much bigger than everybody else.
You gotta
watch it. It's on Peacock, I think, or something like that.
I gotta pull up on that because I forgot.
Yeah. I think I would probably say it would be that one. Mm-hmm. I think I'm trying to think of the other ones I've seen. I like The Wood too.
The Wood was good. I like The Wood. I like Jason's lyric a lot. I like Jason's lyric. I like The Wood. I like Best Man 1 and 2. I enjoy Brown Sugar. Yeah, I think those are the ones. Those are the ones that really stand out for me on the Black Love Story tip.
Yeah, if it's in that regard. I like, this is a newer movie. It came out like right before the pandemic hit. I saw The Photograph, and I think that's...
Oh, yeah, I never saw that. How was it?
I liked it.
Okay.
It was one of those, like, I think a lot of people gave it a little criticism because it wasn't too, like, traumatic, I felt like. Like, people felt like it wasn't enough, like, oh, my God. And I was like, it's just a... Again, like I was saying, like, it's just a feel... It's meant to be a little more realistic where it doesn't have to be so... like ridiculously like, oh my God, why would you do that?
Right.
Like there's no point of it to be sad, so let's not be sad. Like
right.
There's express emotions and depth and whatnot, but don't let it be to the point where it's like, I gotta make you feel like you need to cry when you watch this movie. It should just feel good.
Right.
So I enjoyed that.
If Tyler Perry wrote it, it would have been
some
serious trauma up in that bit.
Or even Queen and Slim, like, oh,
Queen
like,
and Slim. I'm not indifferent on Queen and Slim, but I'm just like, it was good, but
that ending just seemed unnecessary.
Yeah. Like, they didn't... If you haven't seen Queen of Slim, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. Close your ears. Mute me. They ain't had to die at the end of that. Like, come on now. And I just completely didn't buy the love story with them.
Yeah.
Because she was an asshole on that date. And so, for me, I would have never been... enamored with her, even though we're thrust into these wild ass circumstances, I would have never been like head over heels for her. That's just me. That's just how I'm wired. I've just been like, man, because she was trash on that date, and so I just never bought into, you know, their love story. It would have been better if they were already in love, the vibe was right, everything, like True Romance, for example. True Romance is a fast love that I bought into. If y'all ever seen the movie True Romance, they fell for each other fast and hard, but I bought it. I didn't buy it with Queen and Slim. I ain't buy it. But I was there, though. I watched it. I pulled up to the movie theater. I was in the building, for sure. For sure.
Love and Basketball.
Love and Basketball was good. I like that one.
I kind of hate it. Oh. Omar Epps in there. I like the movie's cool. I ain't like Omar Epps like personally. Like,
I feel that.
Yeah.
He wasn't really likable in that.
Yeah.
His character.
Yeah, his character is not likable.
Because I really like Sanaa Lathan's character, but she was 100% the anchor of that movie. She was the primary source in that movie for me. But yeah, Omar Epps' character, I was just like... I was cool on him, man. But Sanaa was great. Boomerang is a rom-com, for sure.
Think Like a Man. I forgot about Think Like a Man. Poetic Justice is one?
Yeah, that's a romance. That's a romance.
I'm looking at this website. It's like, it has Coming to America.
That's a romance.
The Wood.
I guess Coming to America is included in that. From a love story perspective, and that's the driving force of the film for him to find love. That's the best of all time, in my opinion. Coming to America.
I can't argue with that. It's definitely up there.
Yeah, because it's like it's just a perfect movie. So I would have to give it to Coming to America all time, because the love story definitely drives that whole story. I'm going to America to find love, to find my queen. It just so we get so caught up in the mix of the supporting characters and just the storyline that we forget, oh, yeah, this is it. This is a love story. This is that. And that is this. Django Unchained is a love story. Can't argue with this. Even though the settings are absolutely horrendous. Love drives the story. It drives it.
Soul food?
Is soul food a love song? I don't think it's a love story. I feel like that wasn't the driving. I feel like a romance wasn't the driving force of that movie. Yeah, you had relationships within it, but I feel like it was really about, it was just a family story.
Yeah.
More so than the love story. I think they just threw that in there because it was blacks.
Oh, if Bill Street could talk. Oh, my God.
Oh, if Bill Street could talk. That was slow. God.
It was. But damn, that's a strong, yes, that's a strong movie there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Very sad, very, but it was beautiful. It was a beautiful film.
Yeah, Barry Jenkins is going to make it beautiful regardless. That's his thing.
From the visuals to the score was just, you know it's a good score when you just see it all over the timeline, when it's just anything involving that music from that score, I still see on my timeline.
Yeah.
I still hear it. That Agape is everywhere. And for me, the strongest piece in that movie was the beginning when the two families were in the apartment talking. That was like my favorite moment in that film. And then the second half just got kind of like, it didn't stick with me like I wanted it to. But I respect the film. It was beautiful. Soundtrack was amazing. I'm glad Regina King got an Oscar. Because I think she's phenomenal. I don't know if Fences is a love story. I don't know. I don't know if I could call it that. More of a journey of a stubborn man. Oh, this question right here. I like it. I like it. Shobson, 2080. What are your thoughts on Rhapsody's new album and what are some of your favorite songs? First of all, I really enjoy Rhapsody's album. I've been listening to it heavy since it released on my birthday. Shout out to Rhapsody for releasing an album on my birthday, May 17th. She didn't know it was my birthday, but I'm still claiming it as a birthday gift. I really like this album. It's a smooth listen. It's 22 tracks on this thing, but it's smooth. It goes through smooth. Like it doesn't feel like we're there for very long. Even though it's 22 tracks, it feels like a fast 22. It feels like a quick ride. Just how layered this album is in terms of just like concepts and you know, content in the bar, compelling bars. Compelling bars is what I'm all about. Rhapsody is rapping circles around these other women in rap right now in terms of just like depth, three-dimensionalness, you know. There's just the compellingness of what she's talking about. It's just like, yo, these are human bars right here. And it's just that's why Rhapsody is so refreshing in this game. And there are women like this on an underground level that's not getting a lot of shine. So Rhapsody is definitely not a one of one in terms of, you know, women in rap that are in this vein, but Rhapsody is so personal that makes her unique. And this is what I gravitate toward, man. Yeah, we could be at the club, we could turn up, yeah, you know what I'm saying, booty popping on the handstand, you know, getting money. We've heard it 8,000 times. Yeah, you getting money. Yeah, you look good. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? What else? We all getting money. We all looking good. We all turning up. What else? I need something else on that. I need side items on the plate. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, but what else? And I get it. Y'all making money. You making songs for the gram and the TikToks and the radio and the club. But what else? Ladies, what else? What else you doing? What else you going through? What else you thinking about? It's that superficial rap that just gets monotonous and it gets plain and it gets like, you know, anybody could be talking about this because y'all talking about the same stuff. But those are the raps that they shoving down our throats. Now, my favorite tracks on the album, I like Look at What You've Done, D&D. I like Loose Rocks. I like Never Enough. Never Enough. Never Enough in the Words of Babylon. Yeah, I like He Shot Me. I like Raw. I like Please Don't Cry. Man, this is a really good album, y'all. Like, if you haven't tapped into Rhapsody yet, tap into this new album. Just let it. When you're driving, when you're cleaning your house, when you're doing whatever, turn the album on. Let it play through. Let it play through. Take it in. We're talking about the Rhapsody album, her new album, Please Don't Cry. This is the kind of hip hop I'm on. This is my flavor. Yeah, I can turn up on occasion, but I also need something else. Also need something else. And Rhapsody, to me, is one of my favorite rappers in the game right now. Man or woman, she's one of my favorite artists in rap. Her discography is just like, she puts out quality projects on a consistent basis. She is consistent. She's undefeated in terms of just like good albums. She's undefeated. Her studio albums, she is undefeated. And so y'all know me, I'm all about body of work over singles. Like, singles are cool, you know what I'm saying? Can you put together a dope body of work within a project? I'm all about a good album. And until you give me a dope ass album, you never truly resonate with me in those conversations of who's the best, who's your favorite. I need a dope ass album or two or three. And Rhapsody right now keeps putting out dope albums. So she keeps climbing my list of my favorite rappers in the game, if not ever. She's my favorite woman MC of all time. So I had to push her past Lauryn Hill, because Lauryn Hill didn't have a large body of work. And so, you know, pound for pound, Lauryn is damn near, pound for pound, Lauryn is damn near the best to ever do it, pound for pound. But since she doesn't have that body of work, I got to give it to Rap. I got to give it to Rap. Got to give it to Rap, man, because She keep making fire albums. So yeah, so that's my little spiel on Rhapsody's new album. Alice asked me, can you do a This Week in Music where you share like three songs that you have on heavy rotation? Absolutely. Absolutely, Alice. Let's do it right now. What do I have in heavy rotation right now? I have of course, I got the Rhapsody album in heavy rotation. Look What You've Done. Like I said, Never Enough, Loose Rocks. But also, the song I've been having on repeat yesterday is No One Comes Close by Infinity Song. No One Comes Close by Infinity Song. I listened to this song all day yesterday. So that's in heavy rotation. Stealth Mode by J. Cole is still in heavy rotation for me. That's in heavy rotation for me. I just saw that MC Light posted that she's putting out a new album. I'm gonna have to pull up and see what's going on, man. MC Light, man, I'm pulling up on that album. Favorite song on the new Sir album? I'm glad you asked, because I really like that album. It's getting a lot of rotation from me as well. One of my favorite releases of the year. The song I listened to the most on, it was No Evil at first, but I listened to Poetry in Motion a lot, as y'all saw. I posted that on a couple of my videos. My favorite song on here, I think it's Nothing Even Matters. No, it's not Nothing Even Matters. It's Trying My Hardest. Trying My Hardest is my favorite song on the Sir album. If this ain't love, I don't know what the fuck it is. Ooh, I'm trying my hardest. Yeah, Trying My Hardest. That's my favorite song on the Sir album. When's the last time you played Ether, though? I played Ether last month. When the Drake and Kendrick beef was going on, I went back to battle records that I really loved, and I played Ether. So that's the last thing. What's that, 2-3 weeks ago? Last time I listened to Ether? I listened to Ether. I listened to The Bitch and You. I listened to Infrared. I listened to The Story of Adonon. You know, I listened to No Vaseline. I was just listening to, like, battle songs that I was really feeling. It's Not Like Us, your new favorite song. No, it is not. No, it's not. Honestly, I'm going to be 100% dead honest with y'all. This week, I haven't listened to any of those battle records between Drake and Kendrick. None of them. For this past week, even bleeding into last week, I haven't been listening to the battle records. I didn't go back to Euphoria, the Family Business, the Meet the Grams. I haven't gone back to any of that. I'm kind of just done with it. But what I do go back to is My Delete Later. I'll go back to My Delete Later a lot. So that's what I'm listening to. But I've been listening to the most airplay has been Rhapsody for the week. So yeah, and that's just me being honest. You know, one thing about me, even though I'm more of a Kendrick fan, I try to be as objective as possible about the whole thing. And I see a lot of people can't do that. But I just wasn't. The songs weren't calling me to play them again. It was just like, all right, I done moved on. So yeah, please check out Rhapsody. Check out Rhapsody. She's got a great discography, man. Like if you like rap, her album, Please Don't Cry, her Eve album, and her album, Layla's Wisdom. All fire. And if you want to go all the way back to 2012, The Idea of Beautiful by Rhapsody, that was my introduction to her. Fire. She got a She Got Game. I guess these are mixtapes. She Got Game, Beauty and the Beast EP, The Crown EP. She just got a lot of dope projects out there, and she's get in on it. This is off subject, but Michelle Lambert asks, Tony, how's your mental today? You know what? I'm good. I'm in a good space. I'm glad you asked, first of all. Thank you. I'm in a good space. I was chatting with somebody that follows me in the DMs. I was chatting with her because she was talking about, I posted yesterday what my zodiac houses were, right? And what my big six was. And I had like three Tauruses, two Aries, and a Cancer. And she replied like, yo, this is a lot. And I was like, what do you mean? And so she really dug in and sent me a lot of information. And she was just reading me. She was sending me voice notes via the DMs. And she was reading me accurately. And she wasn't reading off Google, or like she wasn't sitting there, because I could hear her moving through life over there. She was doing stuff and grabbing stuff and just taking the dog for a walk and closing the door and washing hands. Like I can hear her just rattling off accurate traits that I have. And I was just like, yo, this is scary accurate. And then she was just like, Yeah, even if you, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I just go off the top, I go off of, instinct and vibes and just, you know, observations of people. And I was just like, yo, this is crazy how accurate this is. I was just like, what? And so, and then she was just telling me stuff about, like, you know, Serene, and it was just like, and, you know, I folded. I was just like, like, the stuff that she was saying, she was like, yo, his spirit is happy. That's the vibe I've gotten since it happened. And I was just like, and that I've been hearing this from people that are connected to that sort of thing. And that's the general consensus. And I feel like it's just people trying to make me feel good, but they're like, yo, he's smiling, he's happy. That's the vibe I'm getting. And for some reason, I believe it. And she also said that because he was loved when he left. And I told y'all this before, and I tell y'all this all the time. Since I don't have regret over my relationship with Serene, there's no regret anywhere. There's no regret. There's no beef. That is instrumental in me moving through this. You know, when I do cry over him, it's just because I miss him. There's no regret, there's no guilt. And she said this in the voice note. And I was just like, yeah, like, you know, he left here knowing he was loved. So that energy is what helps me survive this. And so it's just like, man, you know, so when she was saying that, like, when she felt the spirit, I was just like, that's the vibe I'm getting. Like, I feel like he's smiling a lot. And whenever Sabrina has dreams about him, because Serene shows up in her dreams a lot, she'd be like, he's happy. Like, he, you know, he'd be smiling, he's having a good time. So that's always the vibe I'm getting from everybody. And I'm like, that gives me so much comfort through the pain and sadness of missing him. But the fact that I don't have to sit here and live with guilt or regret over anything is just like, I tell people that all the time. It's just like, I wouldn't been able to survive like I am if I had regret or guilt. So that's why I always tell y'all, man, love on your people. Love on your people. You got somebody you love deeply, love on them. Whatever issue you may have, whatever you got going on, whatever you feeling, whatever hurdles you got in the way, when you truly love that person, love on them. Let them know you love them. You know what I'm saying? Communicate that. Express it. Put that energy out there. So that way, if God forbid, if anything happens, You don't want to sit here with regret and guilt and, like, what ifs. That's going to tear you apart long term. And I'm talking about people you really love. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is my son. So this is the utmost of, this is the pinnacle of, like, loving somebody. Loving a human being is your children. And so making sure that there's no room for unresolved issues and regret and remorse and, like, turmoil and, like, stuff you can't get past. I feel like if there's no real mental or physical abuse, if there's no real treachery going on, I feel like there's always hope for redemption between parent and child. If there's not real trauma and abuse and turmoil that your parent put you through, that you might have put your parent through as a child, anything under that tier, I feel like it could be worked through, and y'all could push through and work through that. And just like, because you don't want to carry the guilt and regret. That's what you don't want to carry. So whatever y'all can do, whether it be your parents, your children, your cousins, your siblings, a lover, a current lover, or an ex-lover, or just somebody that's in your life, whatever you can work through, do it. Do it. And just love on your people. Love on your people. My kids made it easy to love on them because they're just fantastic. So it was a no-brainer. It was easy work. It was easy work to love on my sons, man. They're good guys, man. It's easy work. That's why, you know, whenever you see me with my kids, and I'm just like, I'm always in a happy space when my kids are around. It's always been that. It's always been that. So that's the energy. It was just like, man, I love these guys. These are my guys. So it's just like, it gave me a sense of peace just to be in their radius, just to have them around, just to be with them and doing stuff and like living and existing. It was just like, ah, yes. And that's how parents feel. Like when they love their kids, when the kids are around, he's just like, oh man, this is what's all about. And you just feel good. You just be watching them and you just be like, yeah. So make sure, and your kids feel that, whether it's expressed or not, kids feel that. Like when your energy is right because you're around them and you're giving them good energy, kids, the beauty of parenthood is that you don't always have to say every little thing. A lot of the stuff is felt. A lot of the stuff is observed through your children. Your children are always watching you. They watch everything you do. Yeah, they're going to listen to what you say, but they're going to be watching what you're doing. And they're going to watch what you're doing, and they're going to feel what you're doing. And that is being a parent where, you know, and since your kids are watching, you just want to give them something good to watch. You know, you don't want them watching no BS. You don't want them watching you contradict yourself on what you've been telling them and how you living. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I knew my boys were watching me because they were with me a lot. So it's like they seeing my every move and they seeing the energy and they seeing the vibe and they just seeing how I look at them, how I talk to them. And so all of these pieces matter, you know, because you got some people that, yes, they love you, but they're not showing you that they love you. Their energy is not matching up with the love they say they have for you. Because some people talk a good game. Some people talk, they'll say, I love you. You mean everything to me, but they're not giving you that love. And so kids, they pick up on that. They're like, yeah, my dad loves me, but you know, we say it all the time. We got family members, I love y'all, I love you too. But do you really feel it? Are you really loving? And do you really feel fully loved? No matter what they say, because talk is cheap. Sometimes you got to show and prove. And so, you know, shout out to the parents that really show and prove their love for their children. And, you know, Cherie, you know, Serena Cecilia's mom, she's great at that. You know what I mean? She was showing, I could tell Cherie loves her sons 100%. 1,000%. I was like, yo, there's no question. She loves these Baker boys. No question at all. And so that's what you want to give your kids. You want to, because you can't be rules and regulations all the time. The love has to be extended as well. So make sure you're doing that. Make sure you're doing that. And love on your parents. Love on your parents too. Give your parents that energy, man. They put the work in. If you got good parents and you vibing with them, you know, extend that love to your parents. Put that energy on them. You know, they poured all that energy in you. Pour it back. So, anyway, let me get the hell up out of here. Oh, for sure, Cammy. I ain't got no choice, Candid Cammy, man. I appreciate y'all for being in here and even caring. So, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no show without y'all. Listen to Neo featuring Sir. Make It Out Alive. Let me write that down. Wait, let me look now. Neo featuring Sir. Okay, I got it on the, boom, I got it right there. Logged it. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to the patron saints, to Chatsworth, the co-producers of Verbal Cardio now, man. I appreciate y'all. Yeah, y'all be helping me get through these like talks like this, because they be emotional. Trust me. The tears be on the brink when I talk like this. But y'all make it like, you know, I'll be tapping into the strength to keep it together. But I appreciate y'all. Spread the word about Verbal Cardio, man. Spread the word, man. Get the word out there. Get the word out there that Verbal Cardio is a good time, man. Share it with your people. And I want to thank you for tuning in to another session of that Verbal Cardio.